It is ESPN Upstate. Glad to be with you on this Monday, this National Championship Monday. Just a few hours away now from getting the pregame shows going, and we will have kickoff a little bit later tonight. I can't believe it's already here. Glad that you're with us today right here on ESPN Upstate. Cole Bryson filling in. Diesel is in the house as well, and we have a loaded show for you. A very heavy national championship program coming your way today. I want to let you know before we get started, we do have a couple of early guests. I do want to let you know that your chance at free money, the keyword is DARE, the $1,000 free cash dash on ESPN Upstate, keyword DARE. Text the keyword to 72881. That's 72881. Good luck, the $1,000 free cash stash on ESPN Upstate. And just a jam-packed show today, Diesel. Good to have you here, man. Always a pleasure. I believe this is the first time you and I actually have done a show together.
Yeah, I'm the perma sidekick on this station. I'm always here.
I love it. That's a great way to put it.
Well, I do have my own title, though. Just so you know, I am Sports Talk's most decent producer.
Most decent?
Most decent.
Now, that's...
not the best, not the worst. Decent. Not just decent, the most decent.
I love it. I want to let you know quickly what we have coming up on the show. We're going to jump right into it. Gene Sapikoff from the Charleston Post and Courier will join us here in just a few moments, actually. He could join us today. Always good to talk to Gene, but he had to join us a little bit earlier in the program, so we made that work. Will Vandervoort of the Clemson Insider will join us in this hour as well. At 1:20 p.m., we will be joined by Reggie Chapman Jr. covering the LSU Tigers. And then our second LSU guest at 2:20, Madeline Adams of KLFY. We have four guests today, and all four of those guests will be coming to you live from New Orleans. We, obviously, here in the Upstate, Diesel and I, are providing you this coverage from the Upstate to our listeners who are mostly Clemson fans today. There are obviously a lot of LSU fans tonight. Those may be the Garnet and Black fans during the season pulling for LSU tonight. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the program. But just a ton to get to. And let's kick it off with Gene Sapikoff from the Charleston Post and Courier. Gene, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Great, here in New Orleans. Been here for several days now and stuffed my face with lots of gumbo and beignets, and I'm ready for the game.
Man, that sounds miserable. Just sounds like a hard job. Hey, Gene, thanks for taking time to join us. Last time we talked to you, you were covering Clemson out in Arizona before they played Ohio State. Now you are in New Orleans. I want to get your thoughts, Gene. Obviously, there are so many directions to go, but I want to get your thoughts on the environment leading up to the national championships through the press conferences and through the media days and the time you've had with the team. What are your takeaways when talking to both Clemson and LSU in these press conferences and how these teams carry themselves?
Two really, really confident teams. I don't know if I've seen a combination of zaniness on the street among fans and confidence among fan bases and teams quite like this. Usually, you know, there's been a revenge factor for Clemson or Alabama that kind of maybe gives – one team an edge over the other, at least going in their zeal. But boy, this is obviously and predictably crazy when you have LSU playing in New Orleans. But Clemson, wow, they are the defending national champ, and yet they have an edge about them as a point spread underdog and a team and a program and a fan base that feels that they've been overlooked somewhat, which is pretty weird when you're 29-0 over the last couple seasons, and as I said, defending national champs.
Gene, why once again, another year, same mantra, it seems like, this Clemson team being overlooked. It was Alabama last year. Before that, we saw it with Alabama in the previous national championship. It doesn't matter who Clemson plays. It seems like they are being overlooked, in air quotes. Why are they being overlooked?
It's going to be the ACC schedule. I mean, that's the common theme. And there's no doubting that Clemson really didn't have many challenges or hurdles this year. I mean, we thought Texas A&M was going to be a big game, but as the Aggies sort of didn't appear to be all that good over the season, you know, then it was Virginia. They were indeed ranked very low, I think 22 or something. And then Ohio State, and I think a lot of people think that the better team didn't win that game. I mean, a lot of people nationally. So Clemson indeed was outgained by 99 yards in that game and 7 first downs, and there were a couple of questionable calls. But Clemson just keeps winning 29 straight. I don't think that it's real smart to pick against them, especially if you're getting 5.5 or 6 points.
Gene, in your opinion, who has the advantage in this game? Obviously, a lot to play in with the location. We've heard Dabo Swinney talk about this is not playing an away game for him. This is like playing in a foreign country. Does that have that much to do with it? And who has the obvious advantage in your opinion?
The pressure's all on LSU. I mean, this is a rare opportunity to play a national championship game in your home state. Joe Burrow has made such a difference in their offense, but this is a one-shot deal for him. And Clemson is going to be either preseason number one or preseason number two next year behind Ohio State. They are very likely to be right back here in New Orleans next December, which is going to be the site of a semifinal playoff game, and that's where Clemson would rather be instead of the Rose Bowl, I think, because obviously it's closer to Clemson. So, I mean, I just think the pressure is mostly, if not all, on LSU tonight.
Gene Sapikoff joining us on the program right here on ESPN Upstate, talking about tonight's game between Clemson and LSU. Gene, I have to ask, we've heard the flip side of this question all week long, all month long, it seems. But I want to ask you, what does Clemson present to LSU, in your opinion, that maybe LSU hadn't seen this season and could be a difficulty for the LSU Tigers?
I think Clemson runs the ball better than any team that LSU has seen, behind a veteran offensive line with a really good running back that got away from LSU. Of course, that will be pointed out, and I'm sure has been pointed out over the last 3 or 4 weeks to the LSU players, that this ETN guy is from Jennings, Louisiana, and we need to stop him. But, hey, he can catch the ball too, and if you overkey on him, as the Ohio State Buckeyes found out, Trevor Lawrence can run himself. And then on the other side of the ball, the secondary is going to obviously be tested as it's never been for Clemson, but it's also one of the best secondaries that LSU has seen.
You brought up a great point about Travis Etienne, Gene, being a native almost of New Orleans, being right there in their backyard. We've heard all week how Clemson has a chip on their shoulder. What have you heard from Etienne in the media day press conferences about how there's a chip on the shoulder of Travis Etienne?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because at postandcourier.com, we sent our Clemson beat writer Josh Needleman to Jennings, Louisiana a couple days ago to get a great story. And while that hometown was behind Travis Etienne last year when Clemson played Alabama in California, they had like a really cool celebration with the school behind Travis and everything. As Josh Needleman has written about, Jennings is now a town divided, and the kind of the popular theme is, you know, we want Travis Etienne to have a good game, but we hope LSU kicks Clemson's butt. So I think Travis Etienne would love to go back home and say, look, I've got another national title ring, and LSU doesn't.
Gene Sapikoff joining us on the program. Gene, before we let you go, man, I have to ask, you know, it just feels like an obligation of mine to ask all of our guests here today, how do you see this thing playing out tonight?
I don't see how anyone cannot say this is looking like a close, high-scoring game. I think that Clemson wins barely, something like 35-34. That's what I'm going with. I'd be stunned if it's 10-7, but I also would not be stunned if one team or the other wins by 20, similarly to the way Clemson beat Alabama, and that is that if an elite team gets behind late, they start to press, they try weird things like fake field goals, and when those don't work, the other team gets a short field. So I'm picking Clemson close, but not very much would surprise me except a low-scoring game.
Gene, great stuff, man. As always, we appreciate your time. Have fun this afternoon and tonight, and we appreciate you joining us this afternoon.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. That's Gene Sapikoff from the Charleston Post and Courier. Getting us going this afternoon here on ESPN Upstate with our first taste of what this game will be like tonight. I want to let you know you can get your thoughts in on your on this game tonight, your score prediction, how you think it's going to go. If you disagree with Diesel and I, let us know. 844-477-3776 is the number to call. You can also text in by texting 71307. I am on Twitter at TheColeBryce, and you can tweet us at ESPN Upstate as well. I want to break down that interview, Diesel, for just a few minutes with Gene. A lot to take away there, and you know, I do agree with a few things he said, but I also disagree with the very last comment, and we'll get to that. But you have already made your pick. You don't have to give that quite yet, Diesel.
Okay.
I want to let you know, though, I have not. I am still struggling to make this pick.
You haven't made a pick at all,
period. I haven't made a pick at all, period. Not just a score. I haven't made a pick at all.
You haven't talked to the guy at the McDonald's about it. You haven't made a prediction to the barista.
Nothing.
You haven't talked to the priest. Nobody.
This one's tough, man. I feel like this game in particular is tough because I'm leaning LSU right now, I will admit. But at the same time, Diesel, there's so much inside of me that looks at what Clemson has done and just – I don't want to call it magic. I don't want to call it luck. But there's just something about this Clemson team and the program, where they are right now, that they just always find a way. And that's kind of their MO right now. They'll always, like last game versus Ohio State, didn't look good at halftime.
Sure.
You know, in the first half, Ohio State came out guns a-blazing. But what did the Clemson do? Clemson found a way. And Gene's right in the sense of teams start to press a little bit later on when they're faced with, you know, game-time decisions that they haven't had to do all season. Now, LSU's played a much tougher schedule than Clemson. There's no doubt about that. Clemson in the ACC going into the Ohio State game was, in air quotes, not tested. They were tested by a very good Ohio State team. They will be tested tonight by maybe the best team in all of college football this season. But the reason I'm having such trouble with my pick and making a prediction, Diesel, is to me there's very little separation. When I look at one pro for one team, I also come back with a pro for the other team. For example, when I look at LSU and I look at their quarterback, you know, the most important position on the field in Joe Burrow and his strengths, I also see a very good Clemson defense and probably the best defensive secondary and linebacking core that LSU's seen all season. So it's just hard for me to predict this. I will have a prediction by the end of the show, hopefully in the next few minutes, but I want to hear from you. What is your prediction for tonight's game?
You know what happens when you start, you know, going down the columns, comparing, all right, this team's good at this, this team's good at that. This team's strength is this. Guess what? The other team's strength is stopping that.
Yep.
You know what's going to happen? It's going to be a blowout. It's going to be a blowout. I mean, just an absolute mauling on either side. I don't know. I have a prediction that's not too far off from Gene. I don't think it's going to be that high scoring. I think he said, what was it, 35-30? Or 35-34
like
is what he said. I'm going to go a little bit lower scoring than that. I think that these defenses are going to have their way with the other teams. I don't think Joe Burrow is going to have the kind of game that he had, certainly against Oklahoma. I mean, I know a lot of Clemson fans hope not. I see it being somewhere like a 28-24 kind of game.
See, that's low scoring.
And I think it's going to take a late touchdown by Clemson to win the game.
So that's very low scoring.
Yeah.
And that's the interesting thing. I love looking at spreads and over-unders, Diesel. The over-under for this game is 68.
Oof.
So that's a lot of points. But you know, Vegas is looking at two very potent offenses.
And that'd be great for ratings.
It would
because
be.
I know there's a lot of people who are fatigued with seeing Clemson in the title game, and there's a lot of people seeing, you know, another SEC team in the national title game. But, I mean, that, they're going to need that for ratings to keep everybody into it.
Now, as I get closer to make my pick, I am thinking that it is going to be in the 30 margin. That's why I would not put any money on this over-under because, you know, 68 is over-under. If it's a 35, 34 ball game, you know what that equals? 69. So it is over. I'm not touching that. I'm staying away from the over-under. I might would touch the spread, LSU minus 5.5, but I'm not touching the over-under. 68? Are you kidding me? If it's 35-34, it's over. But obviously, your score prediction is way under. I think there are a lot of people, when looking at these analysis and expert predictions, who have picked high-scoring games, and we have been proven wrong sometimes. A lot of times we expect it to be a high-scoring game, and the defenses have something to say about that. But I think tonight's game in particular is so interesting in the sense that Clemson has the ability to do both very well. We don't know if LSU is going to be able to stop Travis Etienne. And as Gene pointed out, probably the best run game LSU's seen all season. In one of their very own Travis Etienne. We don't know if LSU can stop that. I think Clemson would be stupid not to give it to Travis Etienne 20, 25 times tonight. So there are so many directions to go, so many things to factor in. Like you said, Diesel, when you start comparing this to that, you might as well just throw all the chips in the bucket and, you know, call it a blowout. But we will get more in-depth to this matchup and give you our thoughts as the show continues. We will have Will Vandervoort of the Clemson Insider joining us up next. But a lot to get to, man. This game should be a good one. Two teams that are 14-0 tonight at 8 o'clock. LSU is the 5.5-point favorite. I will give you my prediction coming up in the next few minutes. Not too long, I will have my prediction for tonight's game. I'm Cole Bryson, and you're listening to ESPN Upstate. Text in to the program by texting 71307. Start your message with ESPN. That's 71307. Already had a couple of texts come in. We'll get to those with your score predictions. A few very interesting score predictions already in. That's 71307. Start your message with ESPN. Let's go back to the phones and bring in our second guest of the program, Will Vandervoort of the Clemson Insider. Will, how are you this afternoon, man?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good. Glad to have you on. Thanks for taking a few minutes to stop by with us. How are things out in New Orleans?
Oh, it's been busy, as you can imagine. You know, you only have we've been here since Thursday, and it's been, you know, wall-to-wall coverage and just doing it what we can to kind of, you know, get the Clemson fans ready for the game. And, you know, so it's, I mean, you won't lie, we had a little bit of entertainment in there as well, because you're in New Orleans, you're going to do that as well. But, you know, it's been mostly work. So it's been fun. Looking forward to the game tonight.
Now, you say coverage. I mean, that includes food, right? I saw a line, to Cafe Du Monde earlier, pretty long. I mean, that's what you're covering, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You don't come to New Orleans without covering the food as well. So the food and Bourbon Street are the two most things visited. We actually went down to yesterday was the media party was at the World War II Museum here in New Orleans. And that was really good to kind of get an opportunity to walk through there and see that exhibit they have. So if you haven't ever done that, and if you come to New Orleans, try that out too. It was an awesome event there last night. So, you know, there's tons to do in New Orleans from a tourist standpoint, and just, you know, eating definitely is part of the experience when you come to New Orleans.
Will, walk us through, if you don't mind, I mean, just for the listeners out there and for our sake as well, what today looks like. I mean, I know with your coverage that we've seen the past couple of weeks with the team flying in on Friday and then the practices leading up to tonight's game, but walk us through what today looks like for this Clemson football team, even from, you know, this morning when they wake up to what they will do all the way up until kickoff.
Well, this is just a normal game day for them. They set their week up where Wednesday was actually their Monday. And so today is game day. So they'll get up and they'll have breakfast. They had breakfast this morning. They then did their individual team meetings with their position coaches where they kind of go through the game plan one last time. They then go through a little team meeting after that and another kind of walkthrough. And then Dabo will they'll take off for lunch, as they're doing right about now. They'll eat lunch. And they'll you know, kind of at that point, he'll let them have the rest of the day to kind of just relax and rest. And maybe a lot of guys have always used this time to watch even a little bit more extra film. I'm sure you've heard the story of Ben Bolwer a few years ago against Alabama, how he saw something by watching the film just before the game, before they went over to the stadium there in Tampa, that Alabama was doing and picked up on some tendencies, brought it over to his other linebackers' attention, and it turned out being a play that was a huge stop in that game for Clemson. So they'll, you know, the players will use that that little extra time today. So they'll rest, relax, kind of take a nap, you know, rest their bodies, and then they'll like I said, they'll review some film and do that, and then they'll head on over to the stadium about 2 hours before kickoff. So kickoff is 8 o'clock Eastern time. I think Dabo likes to get there like 2 hours and 10 minutes before kickoff, so he'll get there around say 5:50, and then they'll go out there, kind of get a feel of the stadium, what it's like, and then they'll go out for warm-ups, and then it's kickoff.
Will, I want to ask, this is the last game at Clemson for Jeff Scott. How have you interacted with him, and how has he interacted with the media in terms of this being it for him at Clemson, and how much weight does that carry in tonight's game for him?
Yeah, I mean, he said that, you know, it started hitting him when they left Clemson that this is the last time he'll be on a Clemson bus headed to a football game. And he said, you know, it was crazy to think, you know, that his last trip out of Clemson on a bus was to go play for another national championship. He says if you would have told him that 10 years ago, you know, or when he took over 12 years ago when he started with Coach Sweeney, that this is how his Clemson career at this point would end, you know, he wouldn't have believed it because it sounds like a dream come true in a way. And so he says, you know, he's very thankful for everything that's happened at Clemson. He's been at Clemson almost 20 years, guys. Remember, he played for Clemson under Tommy Bowden, you know, and then got on the staff as a graduate assistant coach as a young man, and then, you know, worked with Dabo there. And then, you know, obviously Dabo brought him on his staff to work as his wide receivers coach. He's been with Coach Sweeney ever since. So it's I'm sure for him and his family, this is a tough moment. But at the same time, these guys are so dialed in, and they have such a way they do things that I think right now that stuff is not hitting Jeff as much as trying to win this football game. But when this game is over tonight, I'm sure there will be some emotions that will go through his mind, knowing that, you know, this is for this point, you know, is his last game at Clemson as a coach or a player.
Will, a lot of the talk after the Ohio State game was that Coach Day and the Ohio State coaching staff really had Venables figured out with some of the schematics that they were doing, especially in that first half. How is the game plan going into tonight's game versus LSU any different in your opinion? And what was Venables' response? I know after he doesn't address, you know, every question that we hear out there, but what was his response to you guys after the way they started Ohio State?
Well, I think they were a little surprised with Ohio State, how they came out and used tempo right off the bat, tried to catch Clemson sleeping, and it worked. But as you saw as the game went along, Clemson adjusted. And remember, this is something nobody's talked about. The last 33 minutes of that football game, Clemson outscored Ohio State 29-7. So I think he adjusted fine, and that's what he does as good as anybody. As good as a play caller and X's and O's guy that Brent Venables is, I think he's one of the best in-game adjusters of any coach out there. He can adjust as well as any coach. And so – you know, you saw that in that game, and, you know, and they didn't stop Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State still had some yards and moved the football, but when it mattered the most, when they got in the red zone, you know, Ohio State at that time was the number one red zone scoring offense in the country. And Clemson, they went 0-for-3 in touchdowns in the red zone. And that's what it's about in red zone. You don't want to kick field goals. You want to score touchdowns. And they went 0-for-3 in the red zone and trying to score touchdowns. Clemson, you know, Clemson's defense is the best red zone defense in the country, and I think there's a reason for that. We've seen it all throughout the season. Got teams with first and goal at the one, can't get in the end zone on them. And so, you know, that's going to be the game plan tonight. It's going to be, you know, Joe Burrow's going to get his. I mean, Venables, when you see a great player, you know a great player, and you know he's going to make plays. But the key is don't let him score. And Clemson does that as well as anybody, the number one scoring defense in the country. Right now, if that were to hold tonight, that would be 2 years in a row. They would have led the nation in scoring defense. And a lot of that success is they just don't let teams score when they get in the red zone. Go back to last year's national championship. Alabama was 1-for-4 in the red zone. Go back to the Cotton Bowl a year ago. Notre Dame, I believe, was 0-for-3 in the red zone. And then you go again for this game. I mean, excuse me, the playoff game with Ohio State. Ohio State was 0-for-3. So just take those numbers and those moments and those big games, and you see how well Venables adjusts and how well his defense plays when it matters the most.
Will Vandervoort of the Clemson Insider. Will, always a great interview with you. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to catch up with us, and have a great time tonight. I'm very jealous of you guys out in New Orleans. I know it's a lot of fun, but we are holding it down here in the upstate, and have a safe trip back, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, guys. Thanks so much, man. Talk to you later.
Yep. That's Will Vandervoort of the Clemson Insider as we are getting set for tonight's game between LSU and Clemson. Two Clemson perspectives behind us. Will Vandervoort and Gene Sapikoff both covering the Tigers. Later on in the show, two LSU perspectives. Joining the show in Reggie Chapman Jr. and Madeline Adams of KLFY in Louisiana and New Orleans. A lot to get to. Your opinions as well. The phone lines are open, 844-477-3776. We'll give you our thoughts on how this game will go, as well as my score prediction. I'll have that for you. Up next, this is ESPN Upstate. Cole Bryson filling in on a Monday afternoon. We'll see you up next. All right, Diesel, I have made my prediction. It took me a little while. I've been thinking about this for over a week now. As I hinted at earlier in the program, I am picking LSU to win the football game. Regardless of
what... Dirty, rotten scoundrel.
Yeah, regardless of who my fandom or where my fandom may lie.
You just lost 10 followers
I did.
On Twitter.
Sorry, bro. I'm rolling with LSU tonight to win. However, I didn't say I was pulling for LSU. I said I'm picking LSU 34-30. I think it will be a very close game. Change my mind, Diesel, that it won't be a close game.
So you're picking with your analytical mind. How dare you not make this an emotional decision,
Cole? I should.
Cole.
I really should. Unlike the text that came in that said 45-10,
oh God,
Clemson over LSU.
Yeah, that's a homer pick.
No, you know, no way.
He says, you know, I wish that Twitter, and a lot of people do. I mean, if your identity is so wrapped up in the team that you're a fan of,
yes,
that your Twitter handle has Clemson or Tigers or Dabo or something like that in there. Come on, man. What are you doing? But
Clemson James, you mean that's too biased?
But I wish for those people who don't have
Ralph.
That kind of stuff in there had, you know, pieces of flair. On there, what's the forum website? Reddit, College football thread. Everybody's got their little piece of flair that tells you who they're a fan of, so
yes.
You can sort of qualify a statement. You're like, oh, okay, this guy's a Clemson homer. This guy's a Ohio State homer. I wish you had that on Twitter. That way, you could just dismiss those idiots who say stuff like that.
Well,
I'm not saying you might not be right. All I'm saying is. It's a dumb pick at this point.
Diesel's not saying the texter that sent in 45-10 is a homer, but he's saying they're a homer.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're a homer. I'm just saying you're dumb. I mean, there's no indication that that's going to happen.
No.
I mean, come on, man. Use some common sense. Give a real prediction here.
But watch it be 45-10.
I mean, I know I did predict, I said, watch it be a blowout earlier in the show. So what am I talking about?
Or a 10-7 game. The other text that came in says final score LSU 33, Clemson 27.
Okay.
That texter also said at halftime it'll be LSU 20, Clemson 10. And the final score will be LSU 33, Clemson 27. So he or she was giving us a halftime score as well. I would probably be the world's worst at predicting halftime scores.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't tell you a statistical analysis of what both teams have done up
in the first half
all season long. I don't know. I mean, with Clemson, it's hard because they put up so many points in the first half, and then they don't play their guys the second half.
Well, I asked Will Vandervoort from the Clemson Insider just a few minutes ago about Venables really getting figured out by Ryan Day in that Ohio State first half, where they were running up tempo. I mean Ohio State was going up tempo. When you look at the defensive side of the football, there were a lot of things that Ohio State caught before the game started, kind of like he talked about with Boulware, that they saw on film. I wonder how much this Ed Orgeron-led LSU staff diesel has paid attention and studied and slept and ate and drank this Brent Venables defense. Joe Burrow going up against any defense is going to cause problems, and I agree with Will in the sense that Joe Burrow is going to get his. It's when you go up against a great player, you expect that great player to still do what they do. I just want to know, I'm very interested to understand the studying of this game film from an LSU perspective and how much that study and film and analysis they have put into Brent Venables, probably the best defensive coordinator in all of America, in all of college football, because it really does matter. And like Will said, Brent Venables, sometimes doesn't start out the best, but he's very, very good at making in-game adjustments. And I think that is something that's going to be very important tonight. How will you make in-game adjustments against Joe Burrow? How will you make in-game adjustments against the most potent offense, the best offense in the country? How do you make in-game adjustments against that? You heard Dabo in an interview with ESPN on him being asked how to stop this LSU offense. He said, well, the first thing you have to do is try to make them punt. They haven't punted. They don't punt. LSU, they don't even have a punter, I don't think. I don't even think they have a punter on scholarship this season. They don't have to punt. They haven't had to all season. So trying to make LSU punts easier said than done. I'm just very intrigued by the defensive side of the football when it comes to Clemson tonight going up against this Joe Burrow-led offense. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a big game against the LSU defense. LSU defense has been pretty solid this season, and Trevor Lawrence is legit, but I'm just very intrigued by the Clemson defense, the matchup with that Clemson defense and the LSU offense. In your opinion, Diesel, how much do you think Joe Burrow gets?
Joe Burrow does not get what he usually gets in this game. Clemson will hold him to 60% of his normal output. But that's what you'd expect when you're going up against a legitimate defense.
And when you go up against a legitimate defense, you also have to look at who you're playing against. And I think Joe Burrow is a guy that will be playing in the NFL on Sundays. I think there's no doubt about that. So my analysis on this matchup between this Clemson defense and Joe Burrow is Dabo's got to do his best. Brent Venables, has to do his best on doing something that hasn't been done all season, and that's getting pressure on Burrow. Have you watched LSU? Have you seen Joe Burrow throw the football? He doesn't very often throw the football to someone in his face. In fact, he never does. He never has pressure. He always has a clean pocket. He always has all day to throw the football. Now, he has a very quick release, which helps that, but he has all day to throw. So I think the biggest factor for Clemson tonight in this Brent Venables-led defense is getting pressure on Joe Burrow. And a defensive unit for Clemson that's not as heavy on the defensive line as they have been in past years, where they had Christian Wilkins and guys like that. I think a lot of people have thought that Xavier Thomas has underachieved this season, which I may tend to agree with. So their mantra this season isn't the studs on the defensive line, even though they are very talented at that position. I think tonight they will have to do the best they have all season at getting pressure on Joe Burrow.
See, that's interesting. Our analysis all last week was that Clemson should probably drop back and play in zone and just rush two guys at most. If you can keep Joe Burrow where he is, because he doesn't do a whole lot of design runs. It's a lot of scrambles, and he's exceptional at getting out of the pocket and getting out of trouble in scrambles. But if you can limit his need to scramble by not rushing a ton of guys, And then you let your linebackers keep him in front of you, and then let your DBs play in zone. Because I think Joe Burrow's biggest skill set is knowing where the ball is supposed to be at a given time and putting it in that spot. He is that is where he's going to be most successful at the next level in the NFL. He's got that skill set and the timing to know the ball is supposed
timing's
to be here
key.
At this time.
Mm-hmm.
It's my receiver's job to go get it instead of throwing a guy open or instead of just kind of putting it in a general direction, which I think is more of Trevor Lawrence's skill set, putting it up there and letting players go get it. But if you can not force Joe Burrow to scramble, then you're in better shape.
Well, see, the only problem I have with that is if I'm giving Joe Burrow all day to throw the football, if he has enough time to write a book back there, the LSU receiving corps is talented enough to create separation. We've seen that this season, particularly in the game against Alabama. They are very good at creating separation, and I think they are going to use that tonight as a must-have, especially if Joe Burrow does have all day, because sometimes, like you said, when he has all day, it can be because the secondary has tied up those receivers. And what you're saying, Diesel, I like that thought, but my only worry is those receivers creating separation and being able to use the whole field to his advantage. I just don't know that Clemson's secondary is good enough to hang in there four quarters.
Well, certainly you're going to have to mix it up. I mean, you can't let him sit back in the pocket all game long. So,
right.
On occasion, you are going to have to throw a lot of blitzers at him. I don't know if you're going to do it every down. Of course, nobody ever goes through the same coverage all game long. You have to mix it up.
Well, I think Dabo said it very well in the same interview I was talking about earlier. He said, when you look at these kind of games with these two opponents who are heavyweights, this game is going to be decided by three or four plays. You'll play an entire game. You'll play four quarters. But in the end, this game will be decided by three or four plays, and those big plays, kind of like we saw against Ohio State, are going to be what Clemson has to have tonight in order to win this football game. We will continue this conversation as well as get your thoughts. 844-477-3776 is the number. You can call into the program. A few texts coming in as well. Text 71307. Start your message with ESPN. Clemson LSU tonight, as well as a little bit of conversation about those two big NFL games that happened yesterday. We'll talk about that as well coming up. I'm Cole Bryson on ESPN Upstate. Back with you on ESPN Upstate. It is National Championship Monday. Thank you for tuning in this afternoon. Glad to have you along. A lot of text coming in. You can get your text in by texting 71307. That's 71307. Start your message with ESPN. A couple of texts coming in says 38-10 Clemson. No one saw it last year either, for your information. Another big spread, if you will, point differential when it comes to the score that has come in. We've had a 45-10 Clemson and now a 38-10 Clemson. A few people, it looks like, around these parts believing Clemson can do what they did to Alabama last year. Donnie in Landrum says, I think it will come down to special teams where LSU has the advantage. That's certainly a valid point. What to make of BT Potter in his sophomore season at Clemson? I think there has been a lot of negativity as well as positivity all season, kind of like a roller coaster, if you will, around Clemson's special teams. And it may be in his head more than anything, and I'm talking about BT Potter, the kicker for Clemson. We saw earlier in the season Dabo kind of got into it with him after missing a few in ACC play. But special teams, it could come down to it. Not if it's the scores we're looking at on the text line, 45-10, 38-10. So we'll see. We will see. My score prediction, if you missed it, I did give it last segment. I am going LSU wins 34-30. The reason I am doing that is I think Clemson's run has been incredible. I think Clemson is a very talented team and will probably be back in several national championships after this season. But when you're in national championship, after national championship, after playoff, after national championship, and again, you're another national championship, you're going to eventually face teams that are really good. You're going to eventually face teams with quarterbacks that are going to be playing on Sundays for a long time. That's what happens when you put yourself in contention. And I don't know if you heard the interview with play-by-play voice of the Clemson Tigers, Don Munson, but Don Munson said in an interview on ACC Network that he believes Clemson will win tonight, he believes Clemson will win next year, and he believes Clemson will win the following year. Three national championships after last year's would be four in a row. I'm not going on that limb. I don't want to sit on that limb with Don Munson, but I do think Clemson will be back in several national championships.
Looking at their schedule next year, you know how all we heard all season long was Clemson doesn't play anybody?
Yeah.
They play even less of somebody next year.
Yeah, it doesn't get
Akron, Citadel, South Carolina, Notre Dame.
It doesn't get much more competitive in the ACC unless some of these ACC teams start to play a little bit better. But again, I am going LSU 34, Clemson 30. All roads come to an end, and I think Clemson's road will come to an end tonight. I'm Cole Bryson on ESPN Upstate.